the best.
Free your mind.
www.infidelguy.com.
This is Martin.
Martin from Aspen Park, yes, I know.
How the hell did you know that?
Well, maybe because I'm the son of God, Brainiac. Now, do you have a question?
It's that time again for another episode of Live with the Infidel Guy, what you're listening to right now is Randy Freaky. You can check him out on the web at www.randyfricky.com. That's RANDYFRICKE. .com. The time is 8:04 p.m. You know where you are. If you're listening from maybe some internet radio station website somewhere, come visit my website at www.infidelguy.com. We have quite a bit going on over here. We have two new Penn & Teller episodes up. If you guys have missed that, if you haven't seen that, just you have to be a registered member of my website. However, just no, you don't have to pay. Just register. Just go ahead and sign up for a free account, and then you can access the download section and check out those episodes. Very good stuff. They talk about bottled water in one episode, and they talk about, let me see what else they talk about here. Oh, and they also talk about feng shui. Yeah, feng shui, which is, you know, the belief that you can rearrange your furniture in some odd way, and you'll be blessed. Also, guys, don't forget, many of you have expressed that you want to do a major exchange links with me and whatnot on the front page. I really don't have a lot of room. If you notice, it's pretty full. However, if you would like to be an advertiser or sponsor for IG show, just contact me at infidelguy@infidelguy.com. And you can actually click the link there to see my rates for advertising. It's very small. But I think you guys might like it. Not only does it support the show, but it also gets you hits to your website as well. So think about that if you guys are interested in that, okay? Don't forget about the personalized bumper stickers. I'm surprised I haven't gotten anyone asking about this. Yes, we are personalizing bumper stickers, okay? Whatever you want on it, just let me know, and I'll get with Buck Cash, and we'll make it for you. Our normal price for stickers is $4.49. If we personalize it, it's $6.49. So I thought you guys might be interested in that. I myself just ordered two stickers from the from the store myself. One says, Got Reason, and there's a picture of Einstein. He's just drawing it on the chart, on the blackboard. And then the other sticker I bought recently says, In case of rapture, this vehicle will remain manned. Thought you guys would like that. Also, there's a couple of personal updates as well as at infidelguy.com, but you guys can check that all out another time. Once again, sorry for the delay. Don't forget to visit us in the new chat room, by the way, guys. If you haven't checked it out, so you can ask our guest tonight questions or comments. So click on chat room. I have a really big new thing there. It's in red. Click on the chat room icon. And come join us right now. And also, don't forget, you can call in toll-free, 888-503-0802, all right? Okay, our guest this evening, and this is going to be a rather interesting show. Don't leave this station because we have Ted Huntington with us this evening. Now, Ted is employed at the University of California in Irvine. He is the author of Photon Yes, Religion No. It's available via his website at tedhuntington.com. In his book, he gives his opinions on a variety of topics, including science, sexuality, profanity, religion, and government. There's a picture of him right there on the website at infidelguy.com. And let me go down the list. I mentioned some of those, but we'll go down the list and talk about a few more. Religion, violence, science, insanity, democracy, thoughts can be heard, freedom of information, drug arrests, arrest for nudity, arrest for selling sex, arrest for molestation, child pornography, funerals, marriage, police and the military, as well as profanity. So we have a lot of different things we're going to hit on. Welcome to the show, Ted Huntington.
Yeah, thanks, IG, and thanks for having me. You know, it's so nice to talk to another atheist, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say and talking with everybody out there that can hear me.
Okay, not a problem.
Okay, well, I guess give us a little bit more about your background. We know where you work at, but tell us a little bit more about what you do and maybe, you know, what got you involved in your current thoughts today.
Yeah, I have a degree in computer engineering, and I basically do computer programming. And I've really been interested in teaching science and stopping violence and really been outspoken in terms of atheism and questioning of religion and for justice and so on. And so I've made a few cable access television shows called the Get Real Shows, and also I've made a couple books, and by far I think this book, Photon Yes, Religion No, is one of the best books and soon to be videos that I've put together. And, you know, it's just very difficult. We really live, I think, in a stone age of sorts because, you know, science is unheard of on the planet Earth, unfortunately. I wish that people were more interested in science. But so it's very difficult for, as I'm sure you know, for atheist people to be heard, for example, on television of any nation. And so that's a little bit about me.
Okay. I've noticed some things on your website. You're involved in robotics. And
I'm trying to build a walking robot. And what's amazing is some people have already done this.
Okay.
And I really think in the next decade, we're going to see, most people are going to see walking robots going around shopping and carrying people's luggage and so on, and hopefully cleaning bathrooms and kitchens. Within the next decade, I think, because Honda and Sony already have walking robots, and I really think, I'm looking forward to this. There may be a time where humans can just relax and robots will be using, you know, energy or photons from solar power or from fission or something, and just growing, planting, seeding, and growing the crops and harvesting and doing everything, and then humans and the other species will just be able to sit back and move from planet to planet and star to star. So, although you and I will probably never see that, but I think you and I will get to see walking robots, and that should be exciting.
Wow. Okay. That sounds rather interesting. Okay, well, I know some of the topics we wanted to get into this evening were religion.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about religion.
Yeah, this is something that you and I can really relate to, both being atheist. And one thing, it's interesting with religion. You know, the origins of religion are very old. But for me, what's very interesting, clearly humans evolved. There's not much of a question about that. And human language is something that's very interesting to me. For example, you know, the human language is much more complex than the language that chimpanzees or any other species have, at least as far as we know. And we have a relatively simple language, though. We have less than 50 distinct sounds. And what's interesting about human language is that all the human languages, whether it's Chinese, Russian, English, or Spanish, all have the same basic sounds. Like the O sound is common through all languages. So language must have a very early origin. And this is a pretty interesting find that I stumbled onto. And I'm probably not the first. I mean, there is an international phonetic alphabet that's very interesting. But so humans made a complex language, and they started to interpret the universe. And they came up with ideas. One of the early ideas was the idea of gods. And gods always took the form of a human, for the most part. And gods controlled nature. And so these ideas, of course, all of these ideas have been really replaced by modern ideas in science. And but these traditions of thinking that gods run the universe are very old. In fact, of course, the ancient Egyptians, we know, had a variety of gods. They had more than one god. And then, of course, Christianity adopted the, and Judaism adopted the monotheistic idea, and some people argue that that came from Amenhotep, and there's one person who has some pretty funny songs on the web that I can't remember his name, unfortunately, Tor, who actually said that Amen comes from Amenhotep, and that's just amazing. And so, you know, humans made this idea of gods, and then, of course, down to a single god, and Islam, of course, copied that idea. You know, the Jesus-based religion copied the idea of a single god from Judaism and inherited much of the same ideas of Judaism. And then, of course, the Islamic people were sort of a copycat, I think, of the Jesus-based religion, but based on Muhammad.
Right.
So, but, you know, what's interesting with religion is here people in science and people inventing have been going through history at the same time. For example, paper was invented in China. But those people are almost unknown on the planet Earth. Nobody really cares about the stories of science, unfortunately. And they're such amazing stories. For example, at the time when Jesus lived, there was plenty of people in the Roman Empire that were making contributions to science. Pliny the Elder, for example, made an encyclopedia. And one reason I found out about many of these stories in science was I found a great book by Isaac Asimov called The Encyclopedia of Great Scientists or something like that. And he goes through and lists all the various people in science, and it's incredibly interesting. Many people might think it's boring, but it really is very interesting because while Jesus was busy, you know, Jesus was really just a human made of DNA, you know, an average human that was in this cult of people that thought there was a God or thought there were gods.
Right.
They all fit into a subset of people that think there is a God in the universe. You know, they don't even, most of those people do not even use the word universe. They use the word world. I mean, they don't really think outside of their everyday life on the planet. And at the same time, Jesus was busy doing the same myth of there being a God and he has a special connection to God. There are other people, like I said, Pliny the Elder, but also Hero of Alexandria made the first steam engine. Plenty of people, the Library of Alexandria and all the people, Eratosthenes correctly predicted or calculated the correct size of the planet Earth before Jesus was even born. And those people have been all ignored by modern humans, and it's a sad disappointment. And I think, you know, one of the reasons for that is we humans are so poor, many humans, at choosing our leaders. For example, we really have made bad decisions in the people we support. You know, you and I could probably name a million people in acting and sports and music, but it's tough to mention anybody in science. But yet the list of people in science is very numerous. People like Vesalius and Lavoisier and Darwin, of course, and Einstein and Newton and Carl Sagan and Anaxagoras. I mean, there are just 1,000 people that have made serious contributions to science. And one thing that upsets me is that here we are, millions of people shovel money into the people in sports and acting, and they're not really speaking out against violence. They're not speaking out for science. They're not making contributions to science. They're not the people that are going to cure our cancers and viruses and all the problems and the broken bones and everything. So here we're dumping money into people that are good at sports, and there's nothing wrong with that. Nobody should be locked in a jail or a hospital for that. But, you know, we really should be supporting people in science. And I'm not sure, I mean, if most people can even name anybody in science anymore, I mean, since Einstein is not around. And I think that's a disappointment.
Right. And so, so what do you think? So religions basically have come from man's ignorance and personification of nature and anthropomorphizing nature because, like, as I said, they just did not understand. And
well, you know, I think that the humans in religion, like the Pope and the Cardinals and all the reverends and everything, they are people that are not really educated. They never went to a college of science. They don't have any degree in engineering. And they don't really care too much about truth and science. I mean, these are people that, if you walked into a church, synagogue, temple, or mosque, you'd never hear words like atom and proton and universe and Milky Way and Andromeda galaxy and just simple words like that and or neutrino or anything. They're people that don't really care as much about for truth. But, you know, the Pope is paraded around on the cover of Time magazine and Newsweek and on national television.
Right.
Millions of people listen to these people and view the Pope and Cardinals and all these people as role models, but they really, they have no special connection to any God. And they've been doing the same sort of scam for years. And they don't speak out against violence, rarely. I mean, sometimes the Pope will speak out against violence, but it's very rare. They don't speak out for sexuality. You know, sexuality is fine. There's nothing wrong with sexuality, with consent. And the tradition of Christianity is a very anti-sexual tradition, and it's
right.
A tradition that's always been slanted against the female humans. There's a great book called The Dark Side of Christian History by Helen Ellerbe that really details how women have been left out of the picture of Christianity. For example, no woman will ever be pope, as far as I know.
Right.
And they've always had an anti-sexual stance also against bisexuality. In fact, I mean, it's such a backwards anti-sexuality or anti-sexual view, and most people have inherited this anti-sexual view, that they do not even mention the word bisexual. I mean, it's always homosexuality. I mean, if a person has a casual bisexual experience in college or whatever, they are forever marked mm-hmm. as being a gay or something or a lesbian. And I think it's just completely ignorant, because here we should be teaching human anatomy. You know, we should be showing these younger people
right.
human anatomy, so they know by the time they graduate high school exactly what the inside of a human and every other species is like, if they want to. And I hate to think that, for example, we live in a very anti-sexual time on planet Earth. Maybe it's more sexual than in the past, I'm sure of that. But, for example, we don't have any nude images allowed anywhere. It's just a disgrace. And nudity, of course, is not a crime. There's nothing wrong with nudity. And we, of course, you cannot be nude on your own property if you're in full view of anybody else, on your own property, no less. I mean, there's no physical damage. And it's a very interesting
right.
way that people have this sort of anti-sexual
yeah.
view.
Yeah, it's a shame, and religion perpetuates that type of thinking. I mean, there's nothing... You're right. I have not heard any one single argument from any person that, logically, that you know, us walking around nude, there's something wrong with that besides it's in a book somewhere or the innocent law or religious law. But you're right. I don't see what's the big deal. If I could walk around naked, well, maybe, I probably would. But we're conditioned to think that there's something wrong with that. And one thing, Ted, I never could understand that Adam and Eve story
yeah.
about as soon as they ate this fruit of this tree, all
yeah.
of a sudden, they realized they were naked. I mean, are they that stupid that they didn't realize that they were naked in the first place?
Adam and Eve story is ridiculous. We know that humans evolved from Australopithecines. And, you know, we know that what's amazing is that even apples evolved. Apples evolved and oranges evolved. And what's as amazing is the story of evolution is in such a poor state on the planet Earth. I would really like to see a nice summary of evolution in video form. And this is really what my first recommendation to people of the planet is, to restore science, is to tell the history, complete history of science and the complete history of the evolution of all the species of life, and perhaps even the complete history of the universe, but for sure the history of science and the history of evolution in a nice video form, or perhaps on the big screen. We have the Ten Commandments. Why not a story of history
right.
of science? And I think that would be a great idea, but so far, nothing.
Yep.
And, you know, evolution
yep.
is, this is, we don't even know. Finally, I saw a book at Barnes & Noble that I bought, and it's a great book, I forget the name. But do you realize, many people do not even realize that potatoes, tomatoes, corn, tobacco, squash, coca, and I think even chocolate or whatever, evolved in the Americas only. There was no potatoes or tomatoes in Europe.
That's right.
No tobacco. Probably they're cursing the Americas now for tobacco. But before the time of Columbus and the trading between the Americas and Europe, because the Native Americans that, you know, almost nothing is known about. We have some scattered fragments, and we really have a there really is an excellent history of the people in the Americas that walked over there, came to the Americas over the Bering Strait 10,000 years before now. And so no potatoes or no tomatoes in Europe before Columbus. And that, to me, is an amazing fact that most people have never heard about.
Interesting. You're right, or don't even care.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. Traditions and holidays, we kind of hit a little bit on that earlier.
Tradition, to me, I'm not sure what you do for traditions, but everybody, I have to think about maybe 9 out of the 10 people I know are very into Christmas. And, you know, I've, even my family, and as I've aged, I really come to, you know, not celebrate Christmas because I really don't want to continue what Jesus was doing. You know, Jesus was promoting the God myth and religion, and there are plenty of other people that struggled. And, you know, Galileo was punished, and Giordano Bruno was burned at the stake in 1600, and he had never been violent in any way, you know, of course. And
wow.
Bolzani, you know, was burned at the stake. He was a person in the Protestant Reformation, no less. Many
right.
people don't even know about the Protestant Reformation. I didn't know until, I think, after I was 20 years old, about
right.
John Calvin and,
right.
and what happened there. So the traditions and holidays, for sure. You know, but many of them mimic the geometrical and seasonal events of planet Earth. For example, Christmas, I think, came on top of the pagan ritual of Mithra, and
right.
but also that was just simply the celebration of the winter solstice. And so many of these traditions have a geometrical or science foundation. And so I really think, and some people do celebrate a Darwin Day, and I think that's fine, but, you know, I am just not much for traditions and holidays. I like to look at the universe fresh every second and think every second is new. But we have a very interesting 7-day weekly cycle, and everybody's like, oh, no, it's Monday again. But for me, you know, the Earth is in a new location every time, and we always have a new opportunity. And I'm just looking forward to humans if they finally decide to follow science or, you know, promote science and question religion and stop violence, for sure. We can go to at least the moon of Earth, if not into orbit, and to planet Mars, and send robots to Alpha Centauri and the other stars. And I think that's something to look forward to. But traditions, for me, I'm not interested. I almost never even celebrate my own birthday. And I have nothing against that, and nobody should be locked in prison for celebrating a holiday. But and I certainly appreciate the time off. You know, I'm in favor of more regular holidays. Like, why don't we have 4 or 5 days off each month or something, you know? Make it a little more spread out evenly. And so,
right. Yeah, that's interesting. I know my wife used to tell me when she was a child, she would always ask her mother if Christmas is about Jesus' birth, you know, why are we all getting the presents and not Jesus? And, you know, it's just interesting. It's just that, once again, it's just that it's tradition. No one really thinks about, you know, why they're doing certain things. And you're right, I think it's time to break some of those if there are no particular reasons for it. And speaking of traditions, I guess this kind of goes, and this is another topic we're going to talk about since we're talking about tradition. I guess we can go right into this, marriage.
Yeah. I have sort of a controversial view of marriage. I really am one of the first people, I think, to question the idea of marriage. I don't remember anybody else. I know that there was the free love movement in the 60s, but I really think I have nothing against having a contract with a person. But, you know, I don't like the idea of people getting, of course, tax benefits because they've married. And I think that people can have a fine family without marriage. And I made a song, in fact, in 1992, I think, called I Don't Want to Marry You. And it didn't rock it on any chart.
Wow.
But you know, I expressed that at an early age, I think. And I just see something, in particular, the religious relation to marriage is something I think is not a good idea. I'm not sure. I mean, there is the secular marriage, but it's relatively recent.
Right.
I think the idea of monogamy is not really an idea that relates, is not really biological. For example, humans, I explain in my book, really, as like many other species, they really like variety. They and maybe it's genetic, I'm not even sure, but we can't eat the same gruel all the time. We really want to try new tastes. We want to see new things. We do not want to see the same movie, most of us, a million times. As much as I like a movie, I still want to see new movies. And but this is the way people are with other people. You know, after two people have sex, there's not as much excitement, I think, the third or the fourth time. Maybe I'm wrong, and there certainly have not been enough experiments and looking at this. There's only, I think, one or two group of people that are doing any type of research related to sex. But yet sex is something that millions of people do, and sex is the reason that humans are still on the planet. One thing I say is that there's a reason that sex feels so good. If sex did not feel good, then humans would not be around. We would not be reproducing. And so there's a very good reason why
right.
sex feels good.
Well, I'm sure some critics would say that, there are some species of animals that copulate that are in extreme pain to reproduce. So just thought I'd bring that up, because I know someone's going to say that or call in and probably talk about that.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you're saying, but there's somehow pain involved with copulation.
Well, yeah. There are some species of organisms that actually endure pain during copulation.
Yeah, that is interesting. I'm not aware of
yeah,
that.
But,
that is
yeah.
an interesting thing I've never heard.
Yeah, some of the things I've heard, though, is that, you know, but it stimulates the vaginal wall of this, you know, like some mammals have spikes that come out of their penis, and, I mean...
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure there's a number of interesting inventions throughout the past that have been related to sex-related only.
Right.
You know, and it's very interesting to see what two species find sexual. For example, birds... like a dancing and things like this,
uh-huh.
and humans have a number of things, but everybody is different, and it's very interesting, and there's nothing wrong with sex, and there's nothing wrong with talking about sex. I sometimes get the feeling that, you know, even talking about sex is going to be illegal, you know, at some point.
Right.
I think that's terrible. We need to be able to talk about these
things. It seems like that's where a lot of the, you know, Christian conservatives, that's where they wanted to go. And that really, you're right, that really doesn't make sense. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for sex. I don't understand what's the big deal. And I've talked about this on a show previously, I believe, and I talked about how in Germany it's not like that. You know, as you know, they have the red light district in Germany, and you know, prostitution is legal under certain conditions. And I guess, well, there we go. I just went into another topic we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. Also, I mean, the Islamic, fundamental Islamic people are maybe even worse about sexuality. Women, you know, have to wear, they have to hide themselves from public. It's terrible. It's terrible for the female humans in the Islamic nations. Because, you know, I think one reason is the Islamic religion or whatever never had a renaissance as the Christian people did. And we've really benefited from an amazing technology that happened as a result of the Renaissance at great cost and at great pain to millions of people, like Copernicus and Kepler and everybody. But the Islamic people never experienced such a thing, although we certainly can attribute many good things to the Islamic people, like there are plenty of people that, Geber, for example, and while the European was in the you know, medieval age and experiencing great punishment and religious idiocy, the Arab people were having their renaissance then, you know. But, of course, now the European people, of course, and the American people have surpassed them by a great deal. But, you know, definitely getting into the legalization of prostitution, I think that's a very important idea. And what's interesting, as opposed to legalization of drugs, for example, I can't see one thing wrong with legalization or with taking sex for money. And the words are, of course, always archaic, like the word prostitution is used, when really a simple way to say it is just taking sex or taking money for sex. And I think one of the most main arguments that people argue against legalization of sex for money is that there's somehow not consent. And what's amazing is if you look at the other employments, people can lift, you know, 50,000-gram packages for money. They can stand on an assembly line or they can flip burgers all day. And, you know, you could say, well, that's not done with consent. Well, of course it's done with consent. There's nothing different than just touching a penis. You know,
right.
They can flip burgers or touching a clitoris. You know, this opens up, even men could be making money. And a number of, and certainly there's more than enough consent, and people should really verify that there is consent. But prostitution or sex for money could really provide some income for some people. To buy food and to pay their rent and to afford clothing and everything else. But it's being denied because of this anti-sexuality that seems to cover the planet Earth. And
right. And why? Why do the especially religious types seem to view, well, they would probably claim that they view sex as being a sacred act rather than being disgusting. I'm pretty sure that would probably be the rebuttal.
Yeah. This is amazing that, you know, if a person compliments another person and says they have a beautiful body, it can be interpreted as an insult or a harassment or something, or
right.
something bad. But really, you know, I worry when people think the human body is ugly.
Right.
I worry when people are not sexually aroused. You know, I think that there's something wrong in not being sexually aroused. Or, you know, it's no reason to be locked in jail again. But, and this is another reason, speaking of jail, here we're putting these people in prison, and not only for taking money for sex, but simply for asking, for solicitation. And I think that is terrible. That's one of the first things I think that needs to change in the prostitution laws of the planet.
Right. That's something I noticed as well. That didn't really jive too well with me, Ted, is watching Cops and, you know, watching these cops set these prostitutes up and, you know, and
Yeah, they've got
them.
Better things to do. They should be stopping violence. You know, stopping pleasure or people just trying to get some money is not a good idea. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, it's okay. Yeah, right. And but as you know, in a lot of Christian dogma, no sin is greater than any other. So they view them all, if it's something that their dogma might have stated is not right, then it's all just as terrible. It's all bad. Profanity, sex, nudity, all those things are just equally terrible, and they're murder. That's why they equate many believers, who fundamentalist believers, would actually equate someone selling their body or for money, they would equate that with murder.
Yeah,
and
this is what is amazing to me. The priorities of most people are completely backward on the planet Earth. And I really say the biggest priority for all people and the laws that people should get behind the most are the homicide and the assault laws. Obviously, violence is the worst thing on planet Earth. Worse than drug use, worse than prostitution, worse than property theft. I mean, worse than millions of things. But where are the groups against violence? There's absolutely nobody out there. Finally, the DARE people added, and to stop violence, you know, after stopping drug use.
Interesting.
And there's no arrest for violence.
Right.
Playground fights, or no arrest for spanking, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are not really, threats of violence are common, but of course invitations for sex are rare. And, you know, what's amazing to me is simple street cameras available to the public that pay for them could solve 9 out of 10 violent crimes. For, I mean, if you look at the Nicole Simpson and Ron Goldman killing in downtown Los Angeles, some simple cameras on Wilshire, you know, that person that did the killing, whatever person they were, probably was driving. Now, if we had some street cameras available to the public, we could see that on the main Wilshire Street. We could see that. And also the sniper, the people that were sniping in Washington, D.C., some simple
right.
street cameras, you know, but people are just not, they're not getting into the technology. And we have this amazing technology, micro cameras and everything. I say use it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm for complete freedom of all information, too.
Right.
But clearly, violence is the most serious problem. You know, what's amazing to me is that after the killing of John Kennedy and Martin Luther King and Robert F. Kennedy, and I have some things to say about those, too, and Martin Luther King and John Lennon, to me, the millions of innocent people that have been killed, to me, the important thing is stopping violence. I mean, why isn't that the most obvious thing on people's mind? We should be protecting these great, innocent people that have never been violent. And it's interesting with the JFK thing. If I can just take a second.
Okay.
I've been interested in this thing, and I really do think from explanations I give on my webpage that Frank Fiorini Sturgis shot JFK from the front. And most people do not know that. And that's my theory. Maybe I'm wrong, but if it's true, Frank Sturgis was the person who was caught in the Watergate break-in. And he, you know, was very closely related to Nixon. And I had no idea that Nixon could be related to or involved in the killing of JFK. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's interesting. But, you know, and there's some mystery as to what person shot JFK from the front, as seen in the Zapruder film. But there's no mystery for the Robert Kennedy killing. And I don't like to just focus on the Kennedys, but these are two prime examples and really what I consider to be pieces of U.S. history. But for Robert Kennedy, it's clear that Gene Caesar, or Thane Eugene Caesar, shot Kennedy at point-blank range 3 times in the back. It wasn't Sirhan Sirhan. Sirhan Sirhan, I think, injured 5 people. And I hate to go into these conspiracy theories, and it's almost
right.
heresy in the USA to talk about such things. But to me, and that this human, Gene Caesar, lives free on the planet Earth somewhere in Simi Valley or something. He never was charged. Hints at the amount of corruption that's on the planet. Hints
right.
at the amount. He was never brought to trial. But yet, Thomas DiGucci is the reason I feel so strongly that Caesar was the human that killed Kennedy, because the autopsy showed that Robert Kennedy was shot 3 times at close range in the back. And here, Kennedy was going to be the next president, you know, probably. And so the nonviolent smart people, we really haven't had smart people as president, I think, since FDR. You know, I really
right.
don't. We need to get some very smart people. We, in the USA, we have some great people here and all over the planet Earth. In science, we have some great universities, University of California, MIT, Cornell, and in England, there are great universities also. But we are not doing a good job at electing smart people. People that, the first thing out of their mouth is, we want to stop violence, and we support evolution. You know,
mm-hmm.
this is one thing that's amazing. I want for the next presidential debate for the question to be asked, are you an evolutionist or creationist? This would be a great thing, and it's never asked because we really don't even know. The people we elect and vote for and pour money into in sports and acting.
Good question.
Don't really, they live a life of secrecy. They don't really volunteer any information. What kind of grades did they get? What were their SAT scores? What are their opinions on the drug war? What are their opinions on prostitution? This is the type of thing that we as a planet should be thinking about.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned you're talking about stopping the violence, and I totally concur. Of course, as you know, unfortunately, there will be quite a number of people who have religious motives for remaining being violent. And if some of these religious groups were to partake in some campaign to end violence, it would directly interfere with their religion. And I think that's why we won't see that. I want to back up for a second. By the way, I'll make a quick announcement, too. For those of you who just tuned in, you're listening to Live with the Infidel Guy. The time is 8:38 p.m. The show is only going to go over about another 3 to 5 minutes this evening because we started a little late and the feed wasn't connecting, but we're going to go ahead and this show will be up in the archives for your enjoyment later. Don't forget, you can call in toll-free, 888-503-0802. Would someone like to post that in the chat room, if you would like, to give people a reminder so they can call in if they have any questions or comments? I can't see the chat room right now because I'm doing too much clicking back and forth. So just call in if you have any questions or comments. I really would appreciate that. I think the comedian Chris Rock once said this, Ted. He said, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, prostitution, I just don't get it. What's wrong with prostitution? They arrest you for doing something to make money, yet it is something that you normally do for free. And I thought that was something interesting. He says, wait a minute, you mean to tell me that people who have sex normally for free and you're going to arrest someone because they're doing it to make a little money? He said, I just don't get that.
Yeah.
You might as well go ahead and arrest anyone and everyone who isn't having premarital sex.
Yeah, and it is unbelievable. For years here in California, oral sex was against the law, even in the privacy of your own home.
I believe that's still here in Georgia. Yeah, that's still on the books here in Georgia, too, I believe.
Yeah, it is unbelievable, this anti-sexuality. And these people, they march in uniforms. They're almost all Caucasian male, huge people. They come storming into people's apartments, and they arrest people. And it's not, they're not being violent. You know, it's not a crime.
Right.
Sex for money or for anything else. And I really look forward to the pornography industry and people really branching out. And there's a great thing, Match.com and other dating things or whatever. People are becoming more sexual and beaches are becoming more nude.
But you know, and the weirdest thing, though, about that, Ted, is the fact that there's so much money to be made in the XXX industry because of the way society looks at sex as a whole. That's why it makes so much money. You don't see this in any other country.
Yeah, people search, the number one searched for word is probably sex. I think it's up there. People want sex, but they don't want to say that in public.
Right.
You know, nobody will admit that they are sexual, and it's natural. I mean, we are biological bodies, you know.
Yeah, normally when I ask someone, what do you find, what's wrong with, sex in general, or premarital sex, what's wrong with prostitution, I normally get some religious answer.
Yeah.
But there's nothing really, founded in reason and logic. And if I say, okay, well, if you're going to use that example, the Bible, as far as something for a reason why you don't do something, and I'll ask them, well, why don't you do this, or this should be okay then because it's not in your Bible according to what you're saying, like cloning is nowhere in the Bible. Yet you have many religious people up in arms about it, saying that we shouldn't do it. Where in the Bible is that? You use the Bible for all these other moral dictates, moral absolutes, but show me where's cloning. So obviously
These are people that do not even want to stop a fist fight or something. They do not want to stop, spanking or anything else. And, you're talking about, the violence of religion. And, the violence associated with Islam, for example, and also Christianity, with the abortion bombings and everything. But as a reason why 5,000 people were killed in the World Trade Centers.
Right.
I mean, if we were a little bit more critical of religion and we were interested in educating people and stopping violence, I think that we could really, as a planet, and I'm for a planetary democracy, I'm for more democracy in the government. I think we should be voting directly on the laws. I'm in favor of planetary democracy, and I think we should be voting directly on all court decisions, and I think we'd have more democracy and justice. And one thing I wanted to add, though, is, so religion is, all the violence seems to stem from religion. Very rarely do people in science or people associated with science become violent. They're almost always the most clearly accurate people with a good view of the universe. They don't think a god or whatever is telling them to, you know, do something bad or do violence, where these Islamic people, they're willing to, you know, or fundamentally, even Christian people, or any religion, are ready to strap dynamite to their body. You know, every week there's 10 people killed in on the eastern part of the Mediterranean in Israel, and it's unbelievable. It is just, you know, who has a great book on, James Haught, who's a great person. He made the book Holy Horror. And, you know, but James Haught lives without ever being on television. It's amazing. Here we have this very smart person, and the same thing is true for you and me. Here we are, you know, very smart people. Any person that questions the idea of religion and gods are very smart, but we're not being promoted on television or anywhere else. So I think that's a sad thing.
Yeah, and there are a lot of religious people I've talked to who, you know, explicitly exclaim that, hey, I'm going to... If God tells me to kill somebody, I'm going to do it. And that really scares me. I'm thinking, well, what if it's not God you're hearing, or it's something else? I mean, how are you really sure that it's God? And people are like, well, I know it's God. And I'm like, yeah, but there are plenty of other people throughout history who really believe they thought they were hearing God, and they slaughtered people, but yet we look back on those people and call it a moral evil.
Yeah, plus we know there's no God. You know, we know it can't be, so whatever it is something other than a God that's telling them, or what they hear in their brain or see in their brain, telling them to do violence. Mm-hmm. And I really question whether a god would want people to do violence to start with. You know, but that's interesting. I wanted to get to talk about the next topic, science, if I could, really quickly. Just these ideas in science that I think are pretty important. You know, one of the things I say in this book, Photon Yes, Religion No, is that I really think that a photon is a piece of matter. And this really goes against the modern view of science, that the photon is not matter, is somehow massless. And then another thing, that I think that antimatter may actually be matter, because I worked, in fact, at a particle accelerator, a Fermi lab outside of Chicago, Illinois, and not that I really did anything related to particle physics, but it was a great experience, and it was surrounded by smart people from all over the planet, and I really enjoyed it. But, you know, the antimatter may actually be matter, because the when antiprotons collide with protons, you know, the matter does not disappear. The matter, what most people say, it is collided and it explodes into energy.
Right.
But that's just photons. And what's amazing is I cannot even talk to people. Nowhere is the word photon ever used. But yet that light travels in a particle called a photon is accepted theory. As far as I know, it's accepted in modern. But as I say, I mean, can you name one person in science today? I mean, since Einstein and Sagan are dead, there really is almost nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Hawking, and Hawking did a video that, for me, the greatest video that has been was Cosmos by Carl Sagan.
Right.
And I don't think that's been surpassed as of yet.
I have that video too, by the way.
I don't think has with Hawking's universe, for example, is that Hawking is not an atheist.
Right.
You know, and so, but anyway. That's the only person I can name, and especially now since Stephen Jay Gould is dead, there really almost is nobody in science. Tim Ferriss did a thing, but of course I don't think it's lived up, Creation of the Universe, I don't think it lived up to Cosmos, because again, he's not atheist. So, so that's a theory. I mean, nobody will even talk about this idea. Nobody will even explain why antimatter is not matter.
Or why photon cannot have any mass.
Yeah, this is true.
I've debated that as well, Ted. I thought I was the only one. I've been talking about this for quite some time with a few people who are, you know, who study deeply in theoretical astrophysics and whatnot, and I don't see why it cannot. Just because we can't detect it doesn't mean that, you know, detect a mass doesn't mean it doesn't have any. So
yeah.
I've been going through that.
Yeah, and I'm really saying that the photon may be the fundamental particle of all the matter. You know, and what's interesting is I've even run some computer simulations, and you can see a video of these models. It's entirely possible, and what this idea is, and there's nothing wrong with having new ideas in science. If they're wrong, nobody should be locked in a jail or hospital for that.
Right.
But the idea that photons, people say that they follow a sine wave, and if that's true, then they don't really travel at 3 exponential 8 meters per second. They travel at 4.71 in following the sine shape. But I'm not even sure that photons move in a sine wave. So that's one contribution I've made. And if they move in a straight line, then perhaps the frequency of a beam of light or something mm-hmm. is simply the number of photons per second. But and that seems to be a simple thing. But one thing that's with the idea of a universe that's made all of just one particle of photons that move at a constant velocity, that get tangled with each other because of either gravity or something or because of this geometry of space-time, that they are orbiting around each other but maintaining that constant velocity. I mean, they have a constant velocity of 3 exponential 8 in the z dimension as they move forward. But it's perfectly in line with relativity in the idea that no matter can move faster than a photon because if all matter is made of photons, then as some piece of matter, say like two photons are traveling and they get tangled and they start orbiting each other, they would never be able to have the velocity of a single photon. And so they slow down. And so really, for example, when a neutron is passed through some graphite or something into a nuclear to do fission, it's really, and it gains mass, it really is gaining photons, I think. And I could be wrong. And so we could describe mass as maybe number of photons or number of pieces of matter. But really, you know, it's so nice to talk to you about this, and I can't believe that you're hearing me out on this because there is nobody for me to talk to about this. You know, it's unbelievable.
That's interesting. Well, I have a feeling we might have a few people call in soon. Let me interject here. Yeah. The time is 8:49 p.m. Eastern Time. It looks like how much time do you have with us this evening, Ted? Can you go another 30?
Unlimited, yeah, I can talk to you for as much time.
Oh, really? Okay. I guess we'll go another 30 minutes. So for those listening right now in the chat room, I no longer have direct access to the feed. We're going to go ahead and go 30 minutes over. I do have a method in which you can connect to me directly, but you have to go to shoutcast.com to listen. Go to shoutcast.com, type in infidel, and you'll see a link to me. And I can only support 5 listeners at this time, or someone else is already connected. So if you want to listen to me via that way, you can. Normally I get relay, though, but since we have to move on to the next show, we'll do that. However, this will be in the archives for the gold members as well as on the website. Many people have expressed a concern that they really, really want to hear this show, so I'm going to go ahead and do that and put it on the website for you guys to check out. Don't forget, so what you can do is, when, like I said, the show is going to end in the next 10 minutes and continue on with the rest of the Atheist Network programming, but what you can do is just hang on or try to connect to me via shoutcast.com and call in toll-free. I know I have quite a number of individuals right now, I'm pretty sure in the chat room right now, are probably refuting what Ted Huntington is discussing. So call in, 888-503-0802. That's 888-503-0802. So don't forget to do that. Okay. Yeah, it's funny. You talk about quite a number of things that I've always speculated, but I mean, I'm no physicist, so I don't really make any positive claims about some of these things, but it's really interesting that you're talking about some of the same things that I speculated. In fact, I've had theoretical astrophysicist Michio Kaku on my show.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with him, but, you know, it's just great to talk with people in science.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm from the Sagan School. Mm-hmm. I really consider myself to be that science is for all people. You don't have to be a physicist. You can be a person that's interested in the universe.
That's right.
And make contributions. You know, what's interesting, thinking of radical ideas, I really think that thought can be heard, possibly. That technology has been found that can make thought heard, and thought can even be seen, perhaps. But one thing that's interesting, and I've done a tiny amount of searching into this, and I want to do more, and I'm really asking people out there if they have any information and good information to give me, you know, some evidence. But I've actually found a physical piece of evidence that thought may, in fact, be heard. And most people think, ESP, that's all bunk, you know. And I agree, you know. And I think fortune cookies and horoscopes are all, of course, bunk. And I think there's no God or devil, heaven or hell or anything like this. But I really do think that people have stumbled on the idea of hearing thought and seeing thought just because overwhelming evidence, all the people that I'm employed with, you know, can hear my thoughts and things like this. But, you know, but let me tell you, I actually found a piece of evidence, and this was amazing.
Right, that's what I want to hear, okay.
This was National Geographic in 1985 made a video called The Incredible Machine or The Incredible Human Machine.
Okay.
And they show a picture, and I have this picture on my webpage, of a person, a human, looking at an eye chart, and these people have captured an image from the back of the human's head that shows the eye chart in what must be infrared photons in the infrared. We have an enormous spectrum of photons that travel at various frequencies, or light, if you want to use that word. And we really have to explore. And that's why I'm for complete opening of the space and letting all information be seen. And, you know, but I think that if we look in the infrared, maybe people can see what a human sees. So this is clear proof that what a human sees can be seen, or what any brain, even a cat or a horse sees, can be seen through infrared and through the back of a person's brain. And I would really, I really ask people out there, what is the name of this machine? What people did this? It looks like a medical imaging machine. If anybody can tell me any information about this, I asked, sent a letter, a couple letters to the people at National Geographic, and they haven't said anything. So I think that National Geographic has a reputation for excellence.
Right, or maybe that's why you, you haven't heard it from it since. Maybe they pulled it because they realized it was a bunch of bunk.
Well, no. It's just a picture. It's medical imaging or technology. It's reality. I don't think the picture is a fake or anything. And it shows an eyeball. And what's interesting is that Carl Sagan in Cosmos does a very brave thing. Not only does Carl come out against religion in Cosmos, saying that, the God hypothesis and humans groped in darkness to try to make sense of the light. But anyway, Sagan says, it may one day be possible to hear a thought, a disquieting prospect. And I think that Sagan was a very, very brave person. That was in 1985, too. And other people have come forward and said such a thing. And it could be as far back as 1932, for all I know, that people have been hearing thought and seeing thought. But, you know, what's amazing to me, this really convinces me how we've really not been voting for good people in movies and in television and in music and in government, because if such a secret is true, maybe it's wrong. Maybe it's, there are no people hearing thoughts.
Well, Ted, let me interject here. Being a skeptic, I am, one of the first things I'd probably ask, and by the way, for the callers, don't forget, the show is going to be ending in 6 minutes, but we're going to continue on for the next 30 minutes off the air, and you can still call in 888-503-0802. Well, as you know, Ted, our brains are very complex. So complex, of course, that no one's brain is exactly alike. And we process, we process data similarly, but differently, because all of our brains are so unique. Even the way we communicate with each other, the way that is done in our brains is a lot different than it would be in someone else's head. So I'll be very skeptical about believing I can hear someone else's thoughts, because I would think that the way that their energy is transferred around in their brain to produce these thoughts would probably be just a little different than mine. We would have to be on some type of same wavelength, so to speak, for me to be able to do something like that.
Well, I think the human brain, like the other brain, the brain even of a dog or a horse or a mouse even or whatever, is almost the same. We store images. Our eyes receive photons or whatever in the visible spectrum. We store those images.
Yes, we do.
And we store the sounds from our ears.
Yes.
And for example, Carl Sagan says, perhaps there goes a bit of a memory. Perhaps, where did I leave my keys? Well, most people can know that you think to yourself, sometimes even out loud, and there's nothing wrong with that. We think, where did I leave my keys? Or where did I put that paper or something? Or what do I want to eat now? And, I think that when we're thinking, we have a picture of, a sandwich or something, and that means we're going to, we want to eat a sandwich.
Right.
And I just think that it's quite possible that even dreams could be imaged with this type of technology. I have at least a piece of evidence that proves that I think that what a human or any species sees can be seen.
Well, see, this is the issue. I guess I'm going to look at this more like a computer. I'm looking at each individual brain as being its own, so to speak, operating system. And, you would have to, if we could ever do that, you would need a technology to be able to decode one particular person's brain to get the necessary data out of that. And someone else's brain would have to be decoded in a totally different, or their brain, the ability to decode that brain would be something totally different because of the complexity of the human brain.
Human eye has evolved over the years. And, for example, not all species can see color. And the human eye resolution is tremendous. It's something like 10,000 pixels by 10,000, even more, maybe 100,000. I can only guess. But it's nowhere near like a computer monitor, only 2,000 by 2,000 or something. Because our pixels are, of course, much smaller. And but this is amazing that even images can be sent to a human brain, and sounds can be sent to a human or any brain, even to the brain of any species that has a brain. So, I think when some people are very individual, everybody has different tastes, and different memories, the form those memories take are from that old evolved eyeball that is very much the same for almost all people. And so I do think that it's a simple thing, but we'll have to learn as time
But what makes up those images in our brain are different for each person. The various connections and whatnot, the patterns that they flow in, all those things are totally different from person to person. So, I mean, even if I'm gonna grant you the prospect or the possibility that could be possible, but I mean, how many years into the future are you talking about maybe visualizing something like this even being possible?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm saying that I think it's happening now, and I think it happened since the 1940s. And what this really indicates is how people can be incredibly secretive and dishonest. If that's true, if it's not true, then I'm wrong, and people are telling the truth, and there is no such thing. But also, I think one reason that if there is such technology and it's being secret is because of people's lack of interest in science. There are amazing progress, you know, in science. Like, I have no idea what human made the microphone or what humans made the first cathode ray tube or, you know, I can only guess. But I know that, for example, there are plenty of important. Edison was a person who really made contributions, and what Edison probably was involved in at the first time looked like magical. You know, people thought the moving pictures were just amazing. They had never seen anything like that, and it was very interesting. But most people, if only they would pick up an interest in science and follow the stories of science, and as I say, we don't even have a real history of science movie for the general public. And I think that's one reason that these things have been so secretive.
And in effect, science itself would reveal itself to be even more so, not magical for lack of a better term, but interesting and beautiful. And some may even utilize the term spiritual experience, just learning these various things that are happening in science. And I can't agree with you more.
Yeah.
That's my love for life right there. I like learning new things and finding out, you know, what isn't true and.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's a natural interest.
Yep.
You know, for people.
Okay, well, we're still talking about science here. Next topic you discussed, you mentioned here, is insanity.
Yeah, I think, you know, the people look back at this era and they will say, you know, this was the era of psychology. I cannot believe people with this idea of one of the things that keeps me back for you know, from being popular is that people label that I'm somehow insane. And it's unbelievable because I have been locked in psychiatric hospitals on three different occasions.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what's interesting to me is how terrible psychology is. You know, like, for example, psychosis and neurosis are mythical diseases. I mean, anybody can be labeled psychotic or neurotic.
Even children, is right.
And really, the important thing is that we should be concentrating or focusing on stopping violence. You know, is a person going to be violent? And the whole basis of psychology is how realistic is a person? Does a person have delusions? And we know that 9 out of 10 people that think there are gods and devils are inaccurate. You know, they don't realize that evolution is a fact, and they think that there's a heaven and a hell. And but lock them in a psychiatric hospital and drug them until out of fear they tell us that there's no God and they, you know, they believe in science and they are going to abandon religion and everything. No, I think it's a little brutal. Let them be wrong. Let them have their delusions. And this is really what the root of psychology is. But still, people run around, oh, you know, the movie Psycho was redone. And, you know, this type of thing. And people think the word, they hear the word psycho, and they are frightened, unbelievably. Oh, no, not a psycho. But, you know, what's interesting is that if you could call any person in religion a psycho because they're so unrealistic. But also the key thing is a person violent? And this psychology, labeling people insane and giving them pretend diseases, has really proven to be an open-door prison for people to be, without a trial, to be locked in these psychiatric hospitals, you know, for weeks, months, sometimes years.
Yep.
And they're people that have never been violent. And I think that one day, eventually, people will go through these psychiatric hospitals, and they will find the people, all nonviolent, and they will somehow be able to release the people that don't want to be there. Now, if people want to be there by choice, then they can stay there or whatever. And I'm all in for free health care, but only with consent. I mean, so with the psychiatric hospitals, there's some things that I think are very important. For example, that there's only treatment with clear consent. In other words, nobody should be treated in any way without consent. And the other thing is, I mean, in the history of psychiatric or psychology or whatever is terrible. There's a great book called Mad in America by Roger Whittaker that I've read, and he really is one of the only times I've ever seen anybody tell the history of psychiatric hospitals. And it is a terrible history full of torturous type of devices.
Oh, yeah, they use all kinds of things to zap people's...
Yeah, electroshock.
Yeah.
You know, electroshock was done on a person in Italy for the first time, as I found out in this book. And the person was, it was a homeless person, or houseless, or roomless even, that was without even consent. And he said, non una segunda. He didn't want a second pulse, but he still got one. And, you know, this has happened, and it's been terrible. And straitjackets were used. It is unbelievable. And even now, four-point restraints are being used. That, you know, it's amazing. And they're used on anybody. The people are not even violent. You know, a homeless or houseless man is asking for water. Boom, he's strapped down on the 4 points. An old lady is picking up a shoe or talking on a corner. Boom, she's tied down in 4 point restraints. A young human's walking around in the nude. Boom, he's tied down in 4 point restraints. There's just no distinction. And then they're, of course, injected with drugs and held for 72
hours
or more.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. The straitjacket or the four-point little suit they put on you, that's...
Four-point restraints.
Four-point restraints. That's right. That's the cure-all. I used to work in a federal maximum security federal penitentiary, and I worked in the, as we used to affectionately dub it, the psycho ward for about, total, I've probably worked there almost a year. That's how long I worked, back and forth. They always put me there. And you're right, I saw a lot of that. You know.
Yeah, and these people are not really violent. But if they are violent, we have laws for that. If they've punched another human, then we have assault laws. And I'm all in favor of those laws being enforced. But as I said, I'm all in favor of people voting. And we have we're a wealthy nation and a wealthy planet. We can be voting for free clean water, for free phone service, whatever, for free Band-Aids, you know, for those who need it, for free bread.
Right.
For free ibuprofen or whatever. But, you know, I think the blocking person, forcing a person to conform to some way of thinking is not a good idea.
Well, I would like to probably have a psychologist on the show to probably discuss a little bit more about that issue because, you know, how do you determine someone is unable to take care of themselves and they need to be on medication or in some place? And then you have others.
Because it keeps the business going.
Right. But then you have others who get out on the street and they say, I was fine in the first place. I never knew why I was in here. So, but yet, you know, their documentation states that, hey, they have these issues and these problems and we need to take, you know, keep an eye on this person. Do you believe that the psychological field or the psychology field that is useful?
Well, I really do not. I think it's a pseudoscience. And I think that, you know, what's amazing is we've heard of Freud. And we've heard of the people in psychology, but we really don't know anything about the wonderful people in neurosurgery and in physiology and in the people that do legitimate operations. I mean, there's people cutting into brains. The people in psychology are never going to cut into a brain again. And that's what's amazing. These people were doing lobotomies. They were putting ice picks through the people's eye sockets into their brain and without consent, no less, either. And so, I mean, terrible, terrible experimental thing. Now, if somebody wanted to consent to that, I still don't think it's a great idea. But I do think it is the choice, and I'm for free experimentation with consent and clear consent.
Right. So you're all for, like, you know, Dr. Jack Kevorkian for
I do support Jack
assisted
Kevorkian.
Suicide.
It's amazing he's locked in prison. I do think a person has the right to own their own body and to end their own life if they want to.
Right.
And even with assistance. And I think it's amazing that people will not vote that through. But then again, you know, many of the laws that we live under, we should be able to vote directly on, were passed by maybe less than 100 people who have died years before now. And they certainly don't represent the popular opinion. A good example of this is how, for example, I read somewhere in a Gallup poll, I think that 7 out of 10 people in the USA support legalization for marijuana. But yet, of course, marijuana is not legal. And so that doesn't, I mean, there's a problem with the democracy when what the majority of people want is not popular. And, you know, I'm for legalization of all drugs and a free market for drugs. And I think violence is much worse than drug use. And what's amazing is this insanity myth, though, is so pervasive or whatever, so in everybody, it's everywhere. Because even Carl Sagan, use the word bonkers, you know, or clearly the square would think he was losing his sanity or something like that. So if Carl Sagan, the top of the class, you know, is believing into the psychology myth, I think we're in trouble. But even the most, it's amazing.
But you do agree that there are such a thing, you talked about neuroscience earlier, there are certain people who do have neurological disorders that can be treated with medication. You do accept that, right? That is true.
Well, I'm not sure what a neurological disorder is, but, you know, for me, I think that if a person, if there is consent, then I think there's no problem with that. Right. But I think more of this is being used to imprison fine people. For example, even Stephen Hawking uses the word crankpots or whatever. And I think it's a terribly destructive thing, considering all the unconsensual torture happening in these psychiatric hospitals.
Right. Well, what about a violent person then? I've seen plenty of violent inmates in my time.
Yeah, for sure.
So what about violent inmates who cannot consent, who don't want medication? Although we know that if they were on medication, that they'll be a much more productive prisoner in the environment, in the population. We know that their suicide attempts would go down and all these things, yet they don't consent.
It's frustrating. Well, I say we have prison for those people, and that's the bottom road for me. That's the last
right.
end of the road for
okay.
many people is a prison cell.
Right. But you're concerned that there are so many innocent people being, tied down and whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think I don't know if they do force medications anymore. Do they still
sometimes
do those?
Sometimes in various places it's different. Every place is different. But because there's so much privacy and secrecy surrounding it, we really don't get to see what's
happening. That's true.
And so, you know, what's interesting, though, getting back to democracy,
mm-hmm.
I'm for no more electoral college. I mean, are you for that, too? I think the electoral college is terrible.
When I first found out about that, I was really shocked because I didn't know how the electoral college went until I did a little research, and it really shocked me what I found out. And then it affected me personally because during the election, the presidential election, most of the voting polls in Georgia were still open. People were still voting, and Georgia, the electoral vote was already sent in while people were still voting.
Yeah.
And because I saw the lines outside. I just left, and I got in my car, went to the store. About 35 minutes later, I come back down the street. The line is still outside the door. People are voting. And I hear on the radio that Georgia has been...
Yeah, it's already decided.
Yes. And I couldn't believe that. It really shocked me.
You know, I vote absentee. And, you know, what do you think about voting on the Internet? I'm in favor of that.
Well, as long as the proper security protocols are in place, I don't know how they're going to handle the software to do that, though. Because that's the same issue, that's the same problem we're having right now with these conservative Republicans actually owning the machines that tally the votes.
Yeah.
So how do we determine what software is used? And
think we're smart people. If we have, you know, that's one thing also, is that if things were more democratized, like I'm in favor of democracy for the police and military, you know, voting for their superiors. And we people even voting for the people that we're going to pay salaries.
That's I've never heard that before.
Yeah, this is what's amazing. It's a new idea, and I think it's a good idea that we should be voting in the military. What's amazing, the military has their own laws, and they're humans. They should not be above or below the law, any law that is democratically voted on. And, of course, I'm against uniforms also. I think that uniforms separate the people in the police and the military. And we should really be looking at those people just as average humans in a job. You know, they're getting paid. It just happens to be in the government. Mm-hmm. And we should have proper identification, though. You know, we should be able to see through cameras mm-hmm. exactly what people are employed.
Well, as a former federal law enforcement officer, I could see some difficulty, however, in not having, overt identification when you're tracking down or chasing a suspect. I can imagine that someone else could easily mistake you, and if you have a weapon, you could get killed if another officer doesn't even recognize who you are, because I could see a lot of difficulty with that. But I hear your logic, Ted.
It may be decades away or whatever. But here in California, which is very interesting, people do wear shorts. They still have like a black and white clothing on, but it's a little bit more comfortable for them.
Ah.
So what's interesting also, I'm for complete freedom of information, and this is something that not many people are for. I mean, they claim to be, but they want copyright, they want patents and trademarks, and I'm not sure what else there are, but there are limitations on those things. But I'm really against copyright. I'm not against ownership of property. I think that, you know, I'm against property theft, and But I just don't think that people should be fined or locked in prison for copying ideas. You know, people copy everything. It's really to learn is to copy. Anybody that's ever done a third grade report knows that we copy from textbooks and what those people copied from somebody else. And right. Many people copy and are never punished. Millions of people out there have vast archives of video. And I really do think that there are micro cameras and microphones, you know, all over the planet. We know that the people in the police have them, you know, for
right.
example, for their various sting operations and everything. And wealthy people do, too. You know, wealthy people, they fund the technology, and they enjoy having cameras and seeing what their neighbors are doing and everything. And so we have to overcome this idea of privacy, I think. There's just no way to stop photons in the universe. Photons move throughout people's houses, and people want to know information. And so
mm-hmm.
I think that with more information, we'll be able to get more order and to stop violence. But I do think that many people, for example, the television stations and wealthy people and in the governments and the various, perhaps even you know, any form of government from the various nations, do a large amount of cameras. They use cameras on people that they're interested in. And I think it's, you know, I'm in favor, because I don't think that information causes damage. You know,
mm-hmm.
many people feel that somehow certain information should be for certain people, but, you know, if you limit the flow of information, then it limits
mm-hmm.
to some elite group of people instead of for all people. And so I really am for the sharing of information. And so
I see what you mean, because if we were to do that in the first place, we wouldn't have all these hang-ups about it. Anyway, I guess this kind of mirrors what we were talking about earlier about, you know, sex and prostitution and profanity, which we're going to talk about in a second, and all these other things. I can see how that will cause all those problems. You're right. I personally don't care. You know, you want to take a picture of me? I don't care. I'm not doing anything illegal. I don't care. Have fun. I hope you get a good shot.
Yeah, I have nothing to hide. You
right.
Know, many,
and,
many people have
right.
a number of things to hide.
Right. And, even if I'm in my home, you know, of course, we would normally think, okay, the borders go up in your home, but I think that the fear of someone, you know, looking in your home, I guess because there's crime, because you have people that take advantage of you, we have all these different problems, I think, and I think that's why people like to keep their privacy as far as that's
yeah.
concerned. But
millions of people. It's going to be a tough battle, you know, to remove the copyright, and I'm glad for things like Napster and
mm-hmm.
the people that try, because I think it's tragic
yeah.
that I know that millions of people have copies of my songs, and I'm glad I removed all copyrights on my songs and or pictures of me or whatever, and that's fine. You know, I'm glad it promotes this message of stopping violence and teaching science, and
right.
Or to stop the drug war, which I'm also.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested in hearing your opinions on the drug arrests and being arrested for using drugs. What are your opinions? I'm against that. I think that drugs should be legal, and guns, of course, do far more damage.
Right. Well, I guess. I've always been a little split on that, but I guess if I try to break it down logically, we already have alcohol, which kills a you know heck of a lot more people than I think drugs do.
And tobacco, of course.
Right. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't know. Do we if we look at the Darwin Awards? You know, you have these people. Maybe the people who abuse these things will simply you know die out. But then the problem is that these people will also affect other people and kill innocent people who have nothing to do with their habit. And other people have to suffer because of someone else's habit. So I'm a little stuck on that issue because I don't understand, you know, how do we deal with that then? How do we deal with these people who abuse these things and how they affect other people? So, of course, we're going to have more deaths, accidental-related deaths anyway. I'm a little split on the issue because I wouldn't want somebody taking care of my children who was on, you know, drugs.
Religion, for that matter. I don't know.
Right.
But or certainly on violence. You know, this is what's amazing. When you look at the statistics provided by the people in the FBI or any group statistics, you'll see that, you know, in the USA, it's the number of deaths are something like 10,000 to 1 from gun violence, from guns.
Wow.
And from drugs, it's tiny. It's, you know, 1 to 10,000.
Interesting.
Nobody's really dying
right.
from drugs. They're all dying from guns, although maybe some of that is related to the illegal drug market.
Right.
But, you know, certainly the guns are much more dangerous, and they're freely available to anybody over the age of 18. But I don't, you know, many people are hopping on the bandwagon. Like, I'm really glad that the movie Bowling for Columbine was made, and it really shows that people are interested in stopping violence and becoming serious about stopping violence. And first strike violence, you know, the violence that comes out of nowhere. And I think, you know, of course, that knives and guns are dangerous, but I don't advocate making them illegal because we can't erase the designs of guns. We cannot erase the designs of nuclear weapons or anything like this. We have to learn to live with them. And I think that if we have complete freedom of information, we're going to be better off than if we bury our heads in the ground and just hope that the elite people that do get to see are doing the good things. But I think we really should be skeptical or critical of those people.
Wow.
You know, and even overeating. You know, for example, where are we going to go with this, arresting people for drug use? Because, and many things are not healthy, like tobacco and alcohol. And I certainly tell people, you know, my advice is not to use tobacco and alcohol. And I stopped. I used tobacco for years and alcohol. And, in fact, I think many people are required almost to use alcohol when they're younger in high school. And it's terrible. You know, I think there's a myth that alcohol tastes good. And I think that's false. You know, the first beer I ever drank, I took one sip and poured it down the toilet.
I don't think it tastes good at all.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't think overeating is great. And I don't think religion is great. And I think that religion can really mess a person up, you know, and cause them pain and be a very terrible way to lead a life. But at the same time, I don't think people should be locked in prison for doing something bad to their own body. I think they should be locked in prison for doing something bad to the body of somebody else.
Right.
you know?
And if it's okay, if it's not these legal drugs that we're now talking about, maybe making legal, it'll be something else anyway. And these people who are out there, once again, I think we're kind of concurring here. If these people out there are abusing these the newly over-the-counter drugs that manipulate your mentality and physicality and whatnot, then it's just their responsibility. And these people will lose their jobs and they will either kill themselves anyway. But many people who are alcoholics are doing that today too. So, but you know, I can see how some people say that. Well, you know, we made a mistake with alcohol. Let's not make another mistake with all these drugs that we know totally screw people's minds over and harm them and harm others because these people are irresponsible. But so, how do you handle that? How do you handle irresponsible people then? How do we regulate it? How do we keep track of how much people are consuming? Do we keep track? Do we don't care?
Well, this is the thing. We really have to look also at the other end of, okay, well, we've made drugs illegal. Now what are we going to do with the people that violate those laws?
Right.
And we're locking them in prison at unbelievable numbers. Even for marijuana, it's unbelievable. We have more people in the prisons in the USA than any other nation. We passed Russia, and we have more than China, no less. China with 1 billion people, and here the USA only with 250 million or something.
Interesting.
I'm not even sure, 250 million, I think. But we're locking these people, and when they get locked in prison, it's terrible, and for the mandatory minimums that Reagan pushed through. So whether it's a tiny powder of cocaine or a tiny amount of cocaine, or, it's just like that they lose their house. They can't make payments on their houses or apartments or anything else from prison, especially a house. So they may lose their house and it'll be auctioned off. I mean, the closest things on the planet Earth to Nazi Germany, I think, are the drug war, locking people in psychiatric hospitals, and the unpunished violence. I think those are the worst aspects of the USA in any nation that persist today. And so I think those are the things we have to work on.
Right.
But, even the people that sell drugs, and I think those are going to be the first people, the people that use drugs that are nonviolent will be the first people out of prison, I think.
Right.
And if everybody votes for that, and if we do get a chance to vote for that.
Right.
And
So you believe that a lot of the people who are violent related to drugs is the fact that these people think that they have to, protect this.
Well, it's because it's, market, because like it's the, not prohibition of alcohol. It's a brutal market. It's a closed market.
That's right. That's right. It was the same thing back then too with alcohol. People were killing each other over alcohol.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And So I do think in the next century, drugs will be legal all over the planet. It's already happening in Europe, and they're taking a much more enlightened view. In the Netherlands, for example, there's a great show called that John Stossel did on ABC about the drug war. And normally I'm against television because it's so tame and so censored and everything. But this show I happen to see. The TV stays completely off. I only rent videos or get videos at the library. But Stossel did a great show. And there's a person, Judge Gray, out here in Orange County, where I happen to live, in California, that was saying that, the person in the Netherlands was saying that they succeeded in making pot boring. In fact, the numbers of people using marijuana in Netherlands is less than in the USA. And they have it legal. So,
interesting. That's a very good point, Ted. Because I think that if you try to keep something away from them, they'll develop more curiosity about it, And if their parents aren't educating them properly about how to use certain things that could, you know, damage them, like with anything, I mean, even a stick, you have to show children how not to, you know, you don't poke this towards your eye to knock your eye out, you know, mm-hmm. you'll be blinded. It's the same thing with, I think you're right with these drugs, and I find that interesting, but I'm not surprised because people can, if they can get it, they can just as quickly discover, hey, this is not something I want to do.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, violence is much worse. We really have to be stopping, whether it's even as so much as a slap or a punch, you know, punching and kicking and stabbing and this type mm-hmm. of thing really have to be stopped. But that's not even a priority. You know, and how can that be a priority when we have people like George Bush Jr. and Tony Blair in Britain saying that they want to go ahead and just destroy volumes of space in Iraq?
Right.
And, you know, you have to think, if they're going to just up and destroy these places, I mean, we're going to have walking robots, and we can easily see and stop violence on a person-per-person basis instead of just violently destroying millions of people that probably, maybe some have been violent, but most probably have not.
Right.
And even in uniform or out of uniform, it doesn't matter. We're an evolved society. We can non-violently capture violent people. But, you know, if these are the people that are being elected presidents and so on, I doubt seriously that they're even stopping fistfights at the high school level. If they're ready to
right.
bomb and destroy, I mean, it really calls into question the rest of their values. And so that's one thing that's amazing to me. But you mentioned Poke, and it's definitely an interesting story. And you know, I kind of have I've really taken on the, sort of the abuse of being a person that is, as I said, for complete freedom of all information. And so I really question these latest stream of arrests, these sort of sex-related arrests. The arrest of Pee Wee Herman, for example, for masturbating at their theater, or for owning child pornography. And the same thing happened to Pete Townsend. And this has been by the people in Interpol, who, of course, are not interested in stopping violence. And they don't really care about violence to younger people. And this whole idea of child pornography, I think, is going to be an issue that we have to come to grips with, or come to
Yeah. What do you think about that? Yeah.
Child pornography?
Yeah.
I think that, you know, it's going to be... It's the worst part of the freedom of information argument. That's the first thing. The only reason people can be punished, the only images are sex-related images with children or whatever, or people under the age of 18. But you can have pictures of younger people, violence against younger people.
That's true.
As long as it's not sex-related. You know, this is the irony of
pornography
law.
Yeah, that puts things in perspective. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you can have pictures of unbelievable violence to people of any age.
Right.
And that's legal.
Yeah,
as far as I know, maybe I'm
right. So young boys can violate other men and women's bodies with bullets, but they can't...
Yeah, exactly. And you can have images. You cannot be imprisoned for owning images. And, I mean, in this era of the Internet, when people send images all over the place, it's amazing, like, for example, what happened to Pete Townsend. And I don't think that people are locked in prison for owning child pornography, but I know that some are for being involved with child pornography. And clearly, you know, hurting people of any age needs to be stopped.
Right.
Any type of violence. But, you know, if whatever is happening is consensual, and, you know, I think that if there's no damage and there's no clear objection, if there is clear objection, then it has to be stopped, you know. But this is true. I mean, for anything, though, and if we're going to be stopping people that are being touched without consent, you know, there's plenty of people in the prisons and hospitals of the planet Earth that are waiting to be freed, you know, and plenty of people that are being held without consent. And, you know, but I think it's this anti-sexuality. People are not really interested in stopping violence. And one of my main arguments for legalization of child pornography, or certainly no arrests are fine, is that, you know, how can we see what people are doing harm to people of any age, but in particular to younger people, if nobody is allowed to own them, or the only people that are allowed to own pictures of younger people being, you know, anything sexual or being hurt or whatever, or used or whatever, is illegal or in the hands of an elite few people in the polices of the planet.
I'm sure some questions will come up right away, though, Ted. What's too young for you?
I mean, really think that any image, nobody should be locked in a prison for owning an image. And
right. Well, okay. What about the individual that participates in the act, though, that engages in the act?
Well, I think that we have to decide democratically what will be the punishment for people that touch without consent. Like, if somebody grabs you in a fast food restaurant and you don't like that, we can vote to capture that person and lock them in prison. You know, or we can have free, you know, democratic laws to decide what to do when people touch without consent. You know, I'm sure it happens from time to time that people touch and, you know, there's objection.
Right.
And so we have to figure out, but if there's damage, I think that they definitely should be captured, and there's no consent. You know, if there's pain and or damage without consent.
So, and I guess that's the subjective part of it all for many people, especially, you know, what constitutes damage. And I guess you say we have to vote on that, you know, democratically.
Yeah, I'm just doing these. These are completely new ideas that I've never heard of. You know, nobody ever talked about this for me, and I'm one of the first people to sort of tread into this water. And I think that... It's, you know, for any images owned, that's a very, very harsh punishment. Nobody should be locked in jail, but also, or for masturbating in theater, as long as there's no consent. I mean, there's plenty of things. It's an issue of, you know, many people, they are beat, and then they don't want to press charges. And, you know, the issue is that consent or not? Do we still make the arrest? And I think that we're going to have to allow that. We're going to have to allow those people to be beat if they don't want to,
I see what you mean. So if the majority consensus in the movie theater is that they think what P.B. Herman is doing is disgusting, then he shouldn't get arrested for it. He should just cease the behavior.
Yeah, or he should just be removed. You know, the theater is somebody owns the property. And
exactly.
If they do not want a person on the property, they can have the person removed, I think. And I have no objections to
right.
that.
I understand
that. I don't think
that
they should be arrested or locked
interesting.
In jail.
That's very interesting.
So,
okay, well, I guess the last two topics, let's move into quickly, funerals and then profanity.
Yeah, well, funerals is an interesting thing. You know, of course, I think it's religious, and many people think that they have elaborate funerals. For me, when a human dies, that's the end of it. The cells, of course, just decay into the original source, atoms and everything, and, you know, and the atoms continue on. And, I mean, it's a pretty amazing thing that atoms come together to form a human, and then they separate into the universe and move on their way. I have no idea what the future of the universe is going to be. But, you know, for me, I just do not like any kind of religious aspect. And I'm glad that people donate organs and things like this.
Right.
And I think I'm looking at cryogenics myself. I don't know. I was thinking, because I really do have, I do think that science is good, and I do think that perhaps people will come through maybe genetic engineering to end aging. I mean, that will be amazing. You and I, of course, will grow old and die as our cells are programmed to do. But, you know, perhaps future humans traveling in between the planets and stars will not have to worry about aging, and they'll be able to live for millions of years.
And something else I found interesting, and to kind of go hand in hand, you talked about cloning and cryogenics, and but earlier we talked about, you know, us being able to read thoughts. Well, if you can... Eventually, if we can read thoughts via either machines or, you know, physically one-to-one, well, we can record those.
Yeah.
But if all those things that come with that would also be, I guess we could somehow eventually download memory storage and, you know, all those variety of different things, you could simply clone a human body and stick the memories in that person, and that person would then become who they were.
Yeah, this is what's the amazing thing with walking robots and everything, or robots of any kind, I suppose, is that once the robots have to learn, just like humans do, the robots have to learn how to use a dishwasher. They have to learn how to drive a car. But once they've learned that, we could just take that hard drive and plug it into another, you know, frame of a robot, and that robot will have all those memories. We'll have robots. Humans will have died years before now, but robots with 700-year-old memories and 1,000-year-old memories. Still going. I mean, very experienced robots.
Interesting. Provided that the architecture is still the same, I guess. The legs are exactly the same model and all those things. That's interesting. I myself, I'm thinking about getting. I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure. I'm not rich, so cryogenics is probably out of the picture. But I was thinking about, you know, when I get cremated, I just wanted to see if I can buy a temple on some lot somewhere, where all the urns would just be of all the family, and maybe family members with pictures and maybe some bio or some information about them, so maybe my children can get some idea what the family was like in the past.
Yeah.
But with the technology today, though, my grandchildren would be able to go online and find out about me and what I did and who was.
Yeah.
And who I was.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I'm sure they'd be proud. I think that you're a pretty special person, you know, and what you're doing is excellent.
So you don't really mind funeral ritualism, that is, per se, but as far as... Well, you say you want to be cryogenically frozen anyway, so I guess...
Well, that's just my idea. I really don't know. You know, I probably will not have much choice.
Right.
And, but, you know, it's a tiny little thing that I decided to mention. But I just think all the ceremonies of of funerals. Any religious interpretation is not a good idea. You know, we really should enjoy life while we are alive, is what I keep saying.
Right.
You know, there's no afterlife, and millions of people think there's an afterlife, and they have for millions of years, or for thousands of years. And,
right.
You know, the Egyptian people, that's the reason we have the pyramids.
Right.
You know, they built these huge monuments when really they could have used science to build houses, stone houses for 1,000 people. And they could have been a little bit more
that's
logical.
Right.
And but this is the religious, the idea of an afterlife. People, they suffer. And religious people have really made a terrible life for humans on Earth, I think, in this anti-sexuality and this view of that there's a heaven and an afterlife, because they really do not celebrate. We only have 36,000 days or something if we live 100 years. We only have 100 years. And then really, I think maybe only 60 years where we're really in our prime. And
right.
Let's enjoy those years. I'm really in favor of people having sex with a different person once a day. Let's at least have sex, you know, once a week for people. it's amazing. I haven't had sex in 4 years. I haven't even had a kiss. I went through high school. I never even got kissed or hugged, I think, except for one time we played spin the bottle or something.
Right.
You know, it's just amazing. Younger people should be getting sex. And that was another thing, getting back to that one issue, that I started masturbating when I was 12 years old, and I had to wait until the age of 18 to have legal sex. And I think that is a tragedy. And I think in particular for male humans, we have completely ignored the male anatomy. And maybe female humans are different. I can only guess, you know.
That's true. That's a good point, because you're right. If we didn't have all this sophisticated technology and social memes, you would have probably had some, a couple of hundred children already, you know.
Yeah, I probably would have had a good opportunity to reproduce and be responsible.
Exactly.
And careful.
Right.
But that's really the thing with the getting to the younger people, that they should, you know, and this is the reason for much of this violence, is because these humans, age 12 to 18, are not allowed to have sex. And any woman
really?
That does, like this woman, and poor woman in California who was looking at 15 years in prison for having sex with a willing 16-year-old male, but of course she was given probation by a human that had a lick of sense in Las Vegas, you know, a judge.
Right.
And that these younger people should be getting sex, because then that sexual energy or whatever turns into violence. And I know that feeling, you know. I know the feeling of being frustrated because I can't even, you know, I can't find a female to touch the breast of, no less. I mean, a very, very simple thing. Or just to be friends with and chat with and hear that nice, soft female voice. And so I really had a tough life of not much sex, you know. And so it's been a very, very tough road. And, it's not embarrassing to say. It's just the truth. It's for everybody. Millions of people are sexually frustrated and don't get any sex or... But we should, because there's nothing wrong with sex, and we have the pill, we have, with information and AIDS tests, this is another thing, HIV has been a dream come true for the religious, I think. And, you know, it proves everything they were saying about that homosexual or bisexuality is somehow bad, or,
right.
you know, inherently, you know, genetically
right.
bad or something. You know, we know that's not true.
Right.
And, I don't think they're really pursuing giving people free home HIV tests. There is some way to get free HIV tests, but also for syphilis, gonorrhea, and herpes, and all the other sexually transmitted viruses. And
that's right.
Single cell.
That's true.
So I think that's a very important thing. But sex, you know, we live, as I said, in some sort of horse and buggy era in terms of the human's perception or interpretation of sex. And we really need to, when people look back at this century, they will be saying this was an unbelievable anti-sexuality. They'll be on the moon of Earth and going in between Mars. There'll probably be 10 shuttles every 24 hours that go from Earth to the moon. It'll be a vacation spot for the very wealthy people. And they will be having all kinds of sex with all kinds of people, very responsibly taking care of any planned pregnancies and, maximizing their pleasure and minimizing their pain, I'm sure.
Right. Well, I guess we're gonna have a couple of minutes here, and since we're talking about a topic which is considered very profane, especially by many religious right conservatives, let's go into profanity. And I know that before the show began, you sent me an email and we discussed the issue of profanity for a short time. I've said this on my show before that personally, I don't see anything wrong with profanity at all. When you break it down and you look at what exactly words are and the purpose and how we utilize words. I remember I cracked a joke one time, Ted, and I said, you know, I'd rather have someone call me, I'm scared to say the word now, an M-ucker on my show, rather than someone tell me, your mother looks like a donkey's ass or something like that, you know, or donkey's butt. Now, I said that very, that's polite. You know, your mother looks like a donkey's butt. that's still just as offensive as someone using curse words. So what do you? I think it's the intent and the intent that one uses them, and not necessarily the words themselves. What do you think?
Well, I was thinking earlier that this might come down to a mother joke or a mother's mother joke.
Right.
But you know, for me, it's amazing with these words that are considered profane, and this is really, I think, on the front lines of free speech. We, you know, words, as I say, they're made of 50 base sounds.
Right.
And when you look at the words that are usually censored, they're almost all related to sex or feces.
That's right.
And it's just unbelievable. You know, there's nothing wrong with defecation or urination. It's a natural process.
That's right.
Millions of species do that. But yet it's somehow viewed as dirty by the religious, I think,
right.
You know.
In fact, let me go ahead and interject really quickly. For those listening right now, the remainder of this section, there will be overt cursing at this point. If you do not wish to listen to explicit cursing or bad language, please go ahead and shut down. Thank you for listening, and we're going to go ahead and continue on. But you've been warned, so at this point, we're going to that way I can just release myself and be a little more candid and open here instead of being afraid to say certain things. Because, Ted, I do have quite a number of listeners who have expressed that they were concerned about the language on my message board. Or some language bomb, I guess. And so I'm glad we can have this opportunity to talk about this for the remainder of the show.
Yeah, well, definitely. I think that, as I was saying, sounds, there's a great phrase that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Right.
And I think that's really true. Sound in itself does not hurt us. And I really think that if we want younger people or people of any age to be the smartest they can be, we want them to be able to freely hear and say whatever sounds they want to. And, you know, saying something, I think, should not be outlawed or anything like this or be against any law. The same thing is true for thought. You know, we should be able to think about anything we want to, and we should be able to say whatever we want to. And I really think do whatever we want to that doesn't cause any damage to other people.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the thing with the words, as I say, they all relate to
sex or
to
defecation.
Sex or defecation,
yeah.
If you sees. And, you know, for me, I think it's a hurdle that we humans have to overcome.
Indeed. I agree totally. What the hell is wrong with the word shit? Okay, it's slang for feces. What's the big deal? Why is that a bad word? I can make up a word tomorrow. I've said this before on the show. I can make up a word called the klooky clack or something.
Uh-huh.
And I say this in my particular environment, and eventually this word gets around. Well, later it's discovered that klooky clack means, you know, someone who likes to masturbate in public or something.
Yeah,
you know, or whatever, you know, or whatever, or just you know, semen. The word for semen, it could be there you go, klooky clack is semen.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, schools start saying you can't say klooky clack anymore. What are you?
Yeah, it's illogical.
Right.
Imagine some other species coming upon the planet Earth, and they see that we censor certain combinations of words. It's not a good idea.
That's interesting.
You know, and they but also, as I say, it's just sounds. They don't cause any damage. But and it has to do, I think, with the anti-sexuality that we really need to grow out of and we have to overcome and confront. And we really ought to be teaching sex out in the open with consent. And that's the thing. But I think that marriage and many other rituals are really going to slow down the battle for sex in public and everything, or sex being taught in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the thing. But for me, swearing is not a big deal. And many people do it. It's amazing that you said use the word hell, for example. You know, I try never to use the word hell because it seems like I'm promoting the view that there is a hell and everything. But this is what's amazing. If you listen to some of the curses from religious people, like God damn and all these things, I'm like, that must have been at some era in high blasphemy, but only now is it considered to be you know, acceptable. And this is what's amazing with the people that I see from day to day. And it's amazing. You must have the same experience. Being atheist, all these people in this city and wherever I go, they all recognize me. They all know everything about me. It's just amazing. It's like the local atheist. And I'm sure you get the same thing. When I go to the grocery store, I have to carefully choose what person I'm going to the checkout line. Hopefully my robot will be able to go for me sometime, you know. But because I know I'm going to get insulted. I know there's going to be somebody that says, you know, like, for example, one woman said instead of you earned $50, you burned $50. You know, like, oh, and this is typical. It's only when I happen to remember. Like, you're going to burn in hell and all this other stuff, is what people say. And it's just unbelievable insults. And always I'm called homosexual or psycho or all this other stuff. It's unbelievable. The religious people, for the most part, can be very, very rude and, you know, of course,
right.
And brutal. But So, but this is, you know, one thing I wanted to say that's very funny is that the people around me, they always, all of a sudden, that they realized when I was, that I'm atheist, they all of a sudden is when they found all their religion. Like, they never were religious people before.
That's right.
All of a sudden, when they're around me, they have to say, God bless you.
Right.
And God only knows.
Right.
You know, they have to invoke the deity, you know, because
I get that a lot here, too. I get that a lot here, too, especially if I'm wearing my atheist gear. You know, especially here, a lot of Christians say, out of nowhere, you know, God is good. Thank Jesus. Praise the Lord.
That's interesting. I never get much of that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm Atlanta, Georgia.
I do get a lot of burn in hell.
Wow. See, I don't even get a lot of that here. That's amazing.
Or something like, it's very usually disguised in some carefully worded phrase. One person who I know is very ignorant and religious was saying, do you feel the burn?
Oh, my gosh.
No, all this type of stuff.
But yeah, I'm there now. Thanks.
You know, but in one thing I was thinking, that it's amazing to me that people came up with the idea of hell, because if there's fire, there must be oxygen.
Right.
You know, so somehow they didn't, you know, this is a completely earth-based experience, and the devil always has a human form, and he has a horse tail and this type of thing.
Right. Not to mention, we know that fire is a physical, you know, chemical, you know, phenomenon, so
yeah.
I thought spirits were, you know, non-physical.
Yeah, it didn't
so.
Have it. And for years, this is what's amazing. People still use the word element, for example. And I'm saying we can really replace the word element with the word atom. And, you know, but for years people thought there were only five elements, you know, fire and earth
and
water.
Water.
And I really think that, honestly, many of these religious people still think that. You know, they've never heard of platinum or praseodymium or anything like this.
Well, you know they speak in terms like that. I once had a guest on who calls them uncommon reference. They speak in terms only that is common to them in their environment. And then, but when they're in a real world, they still utilize those terms, but they have no basis in reality at all.
Yeah. And many, as I say, if you go into a church, temple, synagogue, or mosque, you'll never hear anything about photons and electrons and
that's true.
Matter or universes or galaxies. It's always the, violent gods punishing people for embracing pleasure.
Right. I can't figure that out either. Yeah, what's wrong with living a life of, you know, pleasure and as long as you know, if not hurting anyone and
exactly.
And in fact you're trying to help humanity but I'm going to go to hell and people like Hitler can go to heaven and it's just
Well, you know, I love to invoke the stories from Nazi Germany because it's unbelievable what happened there. It was a complete collapse of science. And I think that a similar type of thing can happen easily on the planet Earth now because we care so little for stopping violence. We care so little for the people, innocent, nonviolent people in the prisons. We have millions of people in the prisons that don't deserve to be there in the hospitals. And also, people are not really promoting sexuality and free speech and nudity. And there's a lot of secrecy. There's tons, you know, three lots of secrecy on the planet Earth. And you know, what happened there is amazing. And you know what's interesting is that a person like Max Planck, who was in Germany, who I really think has made some amazing contributions to science, he was not as popular as Hitler was. And I think that that is a terrible problem. People should have been really voting and supporting Max Planck and his anti-Nazi views.
Right.
But instead they supported Hitler.
And I guess it goes back to people being ignorant, and some people are comfortable in ignorance. And if it's something they feel that they can't understand, they won't popularize it. It's just not interesting. It's not what's in. And that's a shame. And that's a shame. And I think we can do science like that. I think we can make science hip. I think we can make science interesting.
Definitely. I think it's, you know, it's really, I equate science with truth. And, you know, one thing, getting back to the problem with the Nazi people, is that it was a nationalistic thing. And a similar thing happened with the World Trade Center. Millions of people in the USA had mandatory U.S. flags. And, you know, I love the tradition of the USA and the anti-religion and the science over. And of course, we have a beautiful tradition with planet Earth, and we really have to look out and embrace all the nonviolent people of planet Earth as one democracy, I think. But, you know, this is the type of thing where everybody had these flags, and even now some people still have flags. And I just think, you know, we got to take our head out of the ground or whatever and start to look around and really be a little bit more interested in on the planet Earth, the entire tiny sphere here, and moving to other planets.
That's right.
You know, so
all right. And, yep, I agree totally. Well, we're going to end this show here. Ted, thank you very much for being on the show this evening. We talked about quite a number of things.
It's been a great pleasure. It's just been such a nice experience to talk with you.
Yeah, I'm glad you could share with us what you think. Now, I'm sure you're going to get a lot of feedback on this, so how can individuals contact you if they want to give you feedback about your photon idea?
Yeah. People can always send me electronic messages through my email, or electronic message address, to be
okay.
Fair. TedHuntington@TedHuntington.com.
Great.
And I love to get messages. I'm more than happy to talk. I mean, is there anything else that I can do to answer people's questions? I'm more than happy to.
Okay. In fact, I could even set up a particular place on the forum at my website if you would like to address questions.
Excellent.
And issues.
That's fine.
And we'll do that. Okay, I'll set that up and come on by after the show and check it out.
Okay, I'm going to be welding actually now after the show, but I will check it out when I get back.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks again, Ted.
Thank you, Reggie.
You're welcome. Have a good evening.
Okay, you too.
Bye. Good night, everyone. Thank you for listening. And I'll see you guys Friday. Well, go to the upcoming show section. You'll see what's going on there. I think you'll enjoy. I'll see you all another time in Reason. Enjoy Randy Fricke.